Hello, this is Matt. Welcome to Box of Cameras here on the 11th of December in the international headquarters of the Box of Cameras podcast. Sitting here watching as it gets dark at, 5 o'clock, and wondering, wonder when I'm going to see the sun again. What is it Johnny Cash said? I ain't seen the sun shine since I don't know when. It just feels that way. It's that time of year. Anyway, really what I wanted to touch base on here, been continuing to develop some film using the do-it-yourself ECN chemicals that I made, and been doing a lot of scanning. So I'm going to talk about those two things here in a bit. Been somewhat of a busy weekend. I developed, 7 rolls of film on Sunday. Had a funeral to go to last Friday, which was sad, but, a dear old friend, family friend, we've known him my entire life. The gentleman passed away at 88 from complications of Alzheimer's. And it's just a, sad thing at Christmas time, but boy, there were sure a lot of laughter as well as we reconnected with a lot of old friends I hadn't seen for a while. So, I'm one of those people that when I go to a funeral, I am sad and I may shed a few tears, I also realize that, it's one of those important things that you reconnect with friends from the old neighborhood when you get a chance. So, don't mean to start out on a bummer of a note. Like I said, there was a lot of laughter, shared a lot of great stories, and, loved that family and really I hold them in my heart quite dearly. So, moving on, we're coming down the stretch. It's almost Christmas, and with Christmas, other things come along. And like I said previously, it's the season. Everybody gets they're happy for the most part, and all of that. And like I said just moments ago, we talked about the sadness of a funeral. Well, lo and behold, I think it was 2 days ago, my nephew and his wife had their second daughter. And so we're, thrilled and happy to welcome little Aubrey into our family and can't wait to meet her come Christmas time. Tend to stay away while they're really little. It just goes to show that, life does go on. And I'm awful happy about that. So, let's talk about some more chemistry issues. Okay. If you've listened to the last two episodes, I touched briefly on my experiments with homemade or do-it-yourself Eastman Color Negative 2 developing chemistry. It's a mouthful. I essentially ordered the chemistry, the individual components, mixed it up, and have been experimenting with developing film. First two rolls were kind of dicey, man, way grainy, exposure was way off, colors just were not quite right, quite what I expected. Kind of reminded me of just developing it in C41. But hey, it's the first time, don't know what to expect. Developed, like I said earlier, 7 rolls of film, 2 of which were color. I developed those on Sunday and got to scanning them. These two rolls were standard Kodak and Fujifilm 400, I guess one of them was 800 ISO films, exposed somewhat appropriately. At least I set the ISO or the ASA or whatever you want to call it on my camera according to the film speed. The film was expired, but not terribly expired. I'm one of those who, closest to box speed that you can is probably best in most circumstances sometimes, occasionally. So these were both exposed at the correct ISO. One was 400, one was 800. And using manual cameras, One was on a Pentax, I think ME Super, and the other one was on a Minolta XT5. And for the most part, these came out a lot better. Now, what I'm going to say is that I think the exposure when you're developing with ECN2 does make a bit of a difference. If you get something that's way overexposed, which is kind of what I was dealing with before, colors tended to wash out a lot more, and the green was much more pronounced. These that were closer to the proper exposure, I had much less grain issues. The grain seemed to be pretty much correct, which, I kind of would expect. Those other two rolls were almost 20 years past expiration date. These were just maybe 4 or 5 years. And the others, God knows how they were stored. These were stored cold. So the exposure seems to make a big difference. I still had to do a little bit of color adjusting. I really hate to do any kind of color adjusting when I scan or edit my photographs. I just don't like to do it. It's just a step I don't like. It's one of the reasons why I generally don't like a lot of digital process, because I don't like to spend all that time at the computer, which we'll talk about here in a little bit. But these colors were a lot better. The reds were a lot better. The yellows, again, I think I was slightly on the cooler side on some of these. And then the other odd thing that happened was on the XD5, I had half the roll was double exposed. Now, I don't know what happened because I don't take very good notes. Was it the fact that I shot on a roll of film that had previously been shot, half the roll had been shot? That's entirely possible. Could have been that the manual film advance on the camera isn't working correctly. The film spacing isn't always the best. It's always really close or a little bit too far away. And the other issue could be that the auto winder that I use on the camera was only advancing incorrectly. So, bottom line is I got half of the film, the strip was completely double exposed, and the other half was perfectly fine with just fine exposures and everything separated correctly. I don't know what's going on though with the camera, the Minolta XT5, if it's auto winder or user error, probably user error. But it's got some film in it right now, so I didn't get a chance to really experiment and see what happens and how far it actually does advance with a dead roll of film. So I'm going to shoot up this roll of black and white that's in there, and we'll see what happens after that. The other thing, on both of those was that, even though you can have a happy accident, which is what I considered the multiple exposures, because it did kind of give a neat effect. I could sit here and I scanned one section that probably would have been normally, say, six exposures, and obviously there's roughly 10 or 12 on there. And I scanned them and then cropped it to that long, narrow, almost I would say similar to a panorama, but just a long, narrow negative. And posted a few pictures that way. They're kind of neat effects to look at. Certainly not planned, although I do think that if you plan to do something like that, you could probably come up with something better than I did. Some pictures of my garden produce in the backyard, but then again, that seems to be what I take a lot of pictures of, anyways. So, it was quite interesting. I'm thinking the ECN has still got some experimenting to do. Got to find the sweet spot on them, but what I do know is that I have about 15 more rolls of color film to develop, and I've got a lot of experimenting to do. So that's good early on in the process, and I think that I think we may be onto something here. Okay, so let's talk about scanning. Just the scanning experience that I just went through. I'm not even done yet. I still have one more roll to go. I got some old Plus X pan that, boy, it looks nice. I've shot with it before. There's some weird exposures done on it, and I think I had some issues with the auto winder just snapping off a few shots before I really had a chance to do anything with it. So anyways, it's looking good. So I got one more to go, but the other four rolls that I scanned really just showed me everything that I don't like about scanning and post-production and any kind of electronic editing. The issue is that it just takes too damn long. You know, you got to sit here and get your film cut to the appropriate length and then put it into the film holder, you know, do your pre-scan, do some little bit of editing, then scan again, and then you're looking at your scans and, well, did that come out right? Did that come out right? And, you know, what I've determined is that of all the things that can happen when you're scanning film, I think the one thing I hate more than anything else is Newton rings. And those are the rings that you get when, you know, the glass and the film have this weird contact to them, or semi-contact, you know, when you get it a lot when your film cups and the film that's cupping is touching the glass of your scanner. It can leave a weird line with circular elements to it. That's just how I would describe it. And, you know, there's a couple different ways that you can deal with it. You can get a scanning insert with anti-reflective, anti-Newton glass and use that. Spend some extra money on it and work on using things like that. The other thing you can do is, you know, if it's being caused by your film cupping and you have the film that's, so it's in the holder and it's cupping down towards the glass of your flat blade scanner, you can flip the film over in the frame and scan it that way. You're scanning it backwards, which isn't a big deal. You can flip it when you use the software to scan. The issue that you can run into, though, is that part of the film, since it's not flat, is pulled away and maybe out of focus. On extreme cases, it can really affect how that photo looks once it gets scanned. The more that the film curls and cups, the harder it is to deal with that. I mean, you know, whenever you're dealing with film and scanning, it's one of those things that we're going to do if we're going to share our films or share our photographs electronically anywhere on the internet. And who knows, maybe you don't do that, but I do. But if you're going to do that, you gotta get that image electronically. It has to be saved somehow. And like I said, to me, scanning just takes too damn long. So we're going to see about some of these other things. I saw the Pixelator. I did back that Hamish Gill's thing. And we're going to see how that goes. In the end, though, you still, once you get electronically, you still have to manipulate it a little bit. Now, I'm not anti-manipulation and I'm not anti-editing. I mean, you could take a film photo or a digital photo and edit it to the moon and back. I don't care if you make a good photograph and it's compelling, something for me to have interest in looking at. I really don't care how you did that. More power to you, however you do it. I don't have the wherewithal or patience to figure out, number one, software. Number two, how to go about manipulating the software to make changes to the photographs. So I'm to the point where I just leave it with some of the scratches and some of the weird elements that happen to show up. Like I say, I hate Newton rings. I can deal with dust. I can deal with pet hair. I got a lot of that to deal with, unfortunately. And I can deal with scratches even scratches on the film. One of my cameras I've discovered has some sort of a place where it's scratching the film very slightly. And I've noticed it on the last couple rolls from it. So I'm going to have to do some figuring out how that's going on. I don't think it's the film. I think it's the actual camera itself that's causing the scratches. But again, those are things you can deal with. I just can't handle Newton rings. Okay, I'm gonna get off the subject, man. I'm getting myself aggravated. Okay, I've calmed down. I've calmed down now. Had a drink of water. Looking for a beer. It's all good. One thing that I did, and it sort of arose from my woes with scanning, I experimented with shooting some black and white 35 millimeter film through a 127 format camera, and you know, reusing backing paper, taping the film onto the backing paper, rewinding it onto the spool, and then shooting it through my Imperial Satellite 127. Now the issue that you run into, there's a couple issues when you do that. They're not really issues, but here's what you have to deal with. Number one, that camera usually shoots a square photograph. Gosh, I can't even speak. Maybe I do need that beer right now. But it shoots a square format photograph. And smaller than like your 6x6 that you would get from a full-sized or medium format. So when you decide to shoot with 35 millimeter film, or 35 format film, whatever, 135, when you shoot with that, you're not getting the full square. You're missing the top and the bottom. So the framing becomes an issue. If you're framed slightly off, you're kind of missing out on most of your photo. The other part is that you've got the film sprocket holes are exposed. And they can be somewhat difficult to deal with. Some people like the sprocket holes. Some people don't. They're a pain in the butt to scan, though, because they do throw off how your scanner reads the photo. And so on these, I scanned a few of them with the sprocket holes, and quite frankly, I usually like that, but I didn't care for them, so I scanned the rest of them without the sprocket holes. But then, because it's normally a square format, instead of the 24 by 36 or roughly that you're looking at for a regular photo, 35 millimeter film photo, these would be super wide. I don't know the exact measurements, but they're really quite wide. And I kind of like that just as an offshoot of the format itself. Now, one of the weird things about doing this, since I rolled it myself, I was never good at rolling. I always let my buddies roll, but in this case, I did it myself. The film didn't get flattened, so the film was never quite flat. It was only flat in certain places on the film plane whenever I took the photographs. So half of the photographs have this weird curvature. It's almost like a pinhole camera when you shoot, you know, I don't even know the word, anamorphic, something like that, where the film plane is curved. It has that same kind of effect. In that I took a few photos of an old abandoned building straight on. It should be a flat photograph, and then there's this weird dip, and part of it goes out of focus, and then the edges come back in focus again. Kind of weird, and I enjoyed it. So, you know, that's one of the great things that probably is my favorite thing about shooting film, is that when you do things, you don't really know what happens, and you can certainly come up with things and have things happen that can't be repeated and are certainly really just interesting, especially to me. Those are the things that I enjoy that kind of bring me to film. So I talked about two things here that I love and hate. You know, unexpected surprises, whether it be multiple exposures or weird film planes or just developing issues, and things that I hate, scanning and post-production, post-editing. That's where I'm at today. I think I'm going to try to develop a couple more rolls of film this evening. We're going to see. And then just continue to scan and develop. That's pretty much, I think, I'm going to be doing for the remainder of this dark, cold, dreary December. And I'm kind of looking forward to it. So, everyone, thanks for listening. I do appreciate all the shares, the tweets, the questions, the thumbs up, the likes. If you have a question, I'll even read it on the air. Just reply back or go to the Anchor app and record a voice memo for me. Or You can reach out to me through Flickr. I'm on Flickr as Matt Meltzer. You can reach out to the Box of Cameras on Instagram, box_of_cameras. I hate to say that, but that's what it is. I'll be happy to interact, answer any questions, and maybe even bring you up here on the podcast. Again, there is a hashtag out there for Box of Cameras on Instagram. Use it, tag it. I get notified, and I just love to see other people's work. Thanks again, everybody. Have yourselves a wonderful day, and I'll talk to you soon. Take care. Bye-bye.